Right. Okay, on again. Thank you. So I love that song, Only by Grace Can We Enter. I thought I'd have it immediately before, just as a reminder that we're just here by grace, and I hope there's enough grace in the room for this slightly odd title that people are like trees. I think you've got some idea from the children's talk, but I'm going to be explaining a bit more about that. So this is the last one in the environmental series that we've had over the last few weeks with me and then Aid and then David. So I'm going to be building on some of those ideas. But just to go back a little bit for the original idea for this sermon, I'm doing a theological course at Muller's at the moment in Bristol, which has been brilliant. And at the beginning of each session, we do a little bit of worship and we get put into groups. And each one group leads worship each week. And when it came to our turn, we were wondering what to do because no one plays an instrument. So someone suggested we do more of a contemplative session where each person says a little bit about an aspect of nature, prints out some pictures and put them in a different area of the room, and people can go around and look at the pictures and read the Bible verses. And initially, to be honest, I was a bit unsure about this, about how this would work, but I kind of didn't have any better ideas. So I thought, okay, well, I'll go along with it. And I picked out trees. We also had kind of water and mountains and some other things because I knew that trees are in the creation story at least. So I thought, well, that's a starting point. So I did a bit of research before that worship session. And it's safe to say that I think with most things in the Bible, I was just astonished at the richness and the depth of what I found about trees in the Bible. And there's actually a whole Bible Project series, podcast series on trees in the Bible. So, I mean, there's so much material. So I thought I'd kind of speak about that when I had this opportunity. So trees are mentioned a lot in the Bible from the very first chapter of Genesis right to the end of Revelation. And they're the most mentioned living thing other than God and people. But they're not just mentioned kind of randomly. They're mentioned in specific ways and specific contexts that link together some ideas that run through the whole of the Bible. So as David showed last week, creation, God's love for creation is a theme that goes through the whole Bible. And there are also these themes relating to trees and just lots of other themes that just tie the whole thing together in a way that I hadn't really realised before I started studying it a little bit. So to give you a bit of a roadmap, today I'm going to look at first how Genesis sets up the idea that trees are used as a metaphor for people. Then briefly explore a slightly different idea, which is that trees also signify in the Bible a kind of turning point or hinge point, and they're often there when something really big is happening in the biblical narrative. Then I'll return to the kind of people are trees metaphor and look at what the Bible says we need to be healthy trees and the related ideas of fruit. And I'll try not to sing Fruit of the Spirit song to you. And then, you know, the related ideas of what we've been looking at so far is if we're like trees and we want to flourish, then we need our environment and trees to be flourishing as well. So go to the first slide. So in the beginning, usually a good place to start, according to Mary Poppins. So God said, let the land produce trees that bear fruit with seed in it. So a little test back to my first week. Can anyone remember what day that was on? Had four? Any advances on that? Day three. So on day three, God produced land with trees that bear fruit. Then he created humans and he tells them to be fruitful. Anyone know what day humans were? Six, yes, exactly. Day six. Very good. So Bible scholars have seen this as the beginning of a theme because like trees, humans are meant to be fruitful, and the use of the language fruit trees and then be fruitful kind of sets up this analogy. And then in Genesis, so this is Genesis 1. In Genesis 2, there's this second creation narrative which occurs in the Garden of Eden. And that also has language that links humans and trees. It says, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. And then a couple of verses later, he made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. So it's the same words that we can see in English, But in Hebrew, there are more links between these sentences than we can see in the translation. So kind of scholars think that there's a very deliberate linking between the man and the trees. So that's the kind of start of it. And there's lots of other passages in the Old Testament, like Psalm 1 that we read and other ones we'll come to that make this connection. So if we carry on with Genesis, we read that God made trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. So there was lots of different trees God made, but he also made two special trees. So in the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God told the man not to eat from the tree of good and evil. So there's a kind of test here to do with the tree. And Adam and Eve didn't do well on that test. And so they got a big cross. And then the kind of biblical narrative hinged around that point where Adam and Eve ate the apple. And that's the first kind of hinge point or turning point in the biblical narrative. So actually the Hebrew word for tree is eitz, which is a bit broader than our English words, and it can refer to tree or bush or wood as well, kind of, which we wouldn't really say put a tree on the fire, but they would say put an eitz on the fire. So it refers to all of those things. So in the Bible, all of those things can be linked together through this word, which we can't also quite see in our English translations all the time. So after the Garden of Eden, the next use of this Hebrew word for tree is where Noah used a tree or a wood to build the ark. That's the next time it comes up. And he made a choice to be faithful to God in building the ark. And he, again, kind of changed the course of history and saved the people and his family and the animals. And God made his first covenant that never again would he curse the ground or destroy living creatures. So Noah gets a tick. And then Moses also, the angel of the Lord appears to him from the burning bush, so within a bush. So again, that's the kind of this tree idea. And after some quite significant initial reluctance, Moses does also make the choice to do what God says and ends up having this impact on the direction of the biblical narrative. He leads God's people out of slavery and towards the promised land. So that's again another kind of turning point in the Bible that involves a tree. And also the covenants with Abraham and David also involve trees at really key moments. And then probably the most important moment in the Bible where Jesus dies on the cross. I hadn't appreciated this, but actually the cross is also regularly referred to as a tree. So the New Testament was written in Greek rather than Hebrew, and there is a Greek word for cross, but consistently the word tree is still used. So again, Jesus obeyed God on this tree moment and changed the course of history. So I think that's really fascinating. But to go back to the kind of biblical narrative and what we can take from that. So how to be a flourishing tree. So as we discussed in the children's talk, there's this idea that in Psalm 1, blessed is the person who walks in the law of the Lord, and that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. So it's this beautiful image of a big, substantial tree by the water, blooming and bearing fruit. And then the rest of Psalm 1 says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blows away. And that the contrast just was really stark for me between this huge, beautiful, rooted tree and this chaff that just blows away in the wind. So it's kind of, if we're by the water, we can really be people of substance. Another passage, the one I also had in the children's talk, is from Jeremiah saying that cursed is the one who trusts in man. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. So it's this idea of living in a desert or a salty place. So it's kind of that trusting in man is dry and won't give us prosperity, whereas trusting in God is like living by the stream of water. So I think that leads us on to the kind of water analogies. As we, I was trying to show in the children's talk, There's various passages where God is described as the spring of living water in Jeremiah. In the New Testament, when Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman at the well, he metaphorically speaks of his salvation as living water. And Jesus also describes the Holy Spirit as streams of living water. So we can see that water is this image in the Bible of good things that come from God. It's his Spirit, his scripture, Jesus' salvation. So I think this is all linking up to mean that we can take that when a tree is planted by streams of water, we can flourish. And that's it for us as trees, if we stay connected to God's words, God's Holy Spirit, kind of metaphorically rooted in his word, even that rooted language, you know, is like trees. Then we can flourish and be like the tree in Psalm 1. And then I was looking at the opening of Psalm 1. That also reminds us of the importance of surrounding ourselves with positive influences, because it's talking about blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So I think it's also indicating that we want to spend time with people who do and say things that reflect us back to God rather than, sinners and scoffers and people that maybe aren't such a good influence. Coming on to fruit. So in Psalm 1, again, the tree is fruitful, and that was our original command, like we were talking about in the first week, humans be fruitful. So what is fruit all about in the Bible? So it's always this quote here, it's talking from Matthew saying, talking about false prophets, by their fruit you will recognize them. So there's this whole idea that what we do is how people will know that we're Christians, the fruits of our labor, fruits of the Spirit. It can also be to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. But the main one of the main ideas about fruit is the fruits of the Spirit, as we heard about in the children's song. I don't think that's a bit light to see, but I'm going to try not to sing it, but I'm sure every time you now try and think of the fruits of the Spirit, you'll think of that song. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And Jesus talks about this as well. In John 15, he describes himself as the true vine. And he goes on to use a gardening analogy, saying that his Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. And then he also says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So there's these lovely ideas that if we remain in Jesus and we remain close to the Holy Spirit, close to God, and we're kind of getting his goodness, then we can be fruitful. What's the next slide? Yeah, link this together a bit with the previous weeks we've had about the environmental concerns, and Aid was talking a lot about the wounded world and things. And I think that all of the, and you know, David was talking about how creation's all through the Bible. I think this all links in because God obviously sees us very much as a part of his creation and not something kind of separate from it. So we're completely dependent on the world and the trees and the water and everything around us. We're not, like we sometimes think, maybe set aside from it because we can just do an online shop and it all comes or something like that. Really, we are all dependent on it. So I think just looking at these metaphors makes us realise even more that we need to care for the environment. So all the things we've been talking about in the last few weeks, you know, are completely kind of go alongside this theme as well. So just to draw it together in closing, the biblical metaphor that people are like trees is a really powerful one. And we can very clearly contrast the flourishing trees of Psalm 1, with the chaff or the withering trees in Jeremiah and see that the difference is the water. And that the water is this metaphor for the Holy Spirit and Scripture and Jesus. So the idea that human flourishing can come about when we're grounded with deep roots in God's word and the Holy Spirit is just this lovely idea. We're the metaphorical tree planted near the metaphorical water. And one thing that struck me about this is that a tree planted by water doesn't have to do much except soak up the water. And I love that because it's the same with us. We don't really need to do anything to earn God's love or to gain strength from him. We just need to be near him and rely on him and listen to him. And part of this will be caring for creation in the way he always intended. And then when we are near him and we're flourishing, we can hopefully bear this metaphorical fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. And I think we may not see it in ourselves or always feel this way, but the Bible says if we live in this way, the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and everything will grow in us. So I think that's something we need to kind of hold on to. And then just finally, the beginning of Psalm 1 also reminds us that it's not only God we need to stay close to, the company we keep is important. So like the two trees in the garden, people can be either trees of life or trees of testing to those around them. And the people who are like a tree of life or a vehicle of God's love and life and blessing. So I think this is a lovely idea. That, you know, we're trying to be a tree of life. So this passage from the book of Proverbs says, "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." So yeah, I think that's a beautiful image. And so that we can think about these things for a little longer, I've chosen a song for us to listen to now. So you can just stay seated, just have a couple of minutes out, because then we've just got the prayers and the final hymn and then coffee and everyone will be getting on with their day. So it's just a chance to reflect a little bit. The words are similar to Psalm 1. And I was reflecting when I was preparing on all of this on how I could get closer to the streams of water, how my roots could go deeper. And I was also thinking about how my fruit is developing or not feeling very patient always and, you know, things like that. I think it's something to reflect on. And how wonderful also it would be if I could be a tree of life, even just a little bit, to people around me, sheltering and blessing them. So during this song, you might want to reflect on similar things or whatever comes to mind. So hopefully we'll play that now.
Like a tree by the water, I will reach for heaven on high. Here by the stream, my roots travel deep. This river will never run dry. Every season I will stand in the winter, spring, or summer, when the storm winds bend me down, I will lift my head. I know my anchor holds. Like a tree by the water, I will reach for heaven. Stream, my roots travel deep. This river will never run dry. In a dry and barren land, through the drought I will not wither. There'll be harvest from your hand. Though we sow with tears, we'll with shouts of joy. Like a tree by the water, I will reach for heaven on high. Here by the stream, my roots travel deep. This river will never run dry.
I delight
like a tree by the water, I will reach for heaven on high. Here by the stream, my roots travel deep. This river will never run dry. Like a tree by